Grace, mercy, and peace to you this Christmas day in the name of Jesus, our King of Kings. Amen. The text for our meditation is this gospel lesson from the book of John, the first 18 verses. And you may have heard this through December. Just as I mentioned last night, I've been reading it all the way through December as I visited with our people, many of whom were in their homes or in the hospital even. And each time I read through these verses, it seems as if there's some new angle, some new facet of John's prologue here, which becomes meaningful, which becomes rich. And so I just encourage you to take it with you as a Christmas text. It is the Christmas text, and as one actually reminded me last night, in some traditions, in some Catholic traditions, they read this text at the end of every service. And so it is timeless and well-worn, although it isn't worn out. The text, the particular focal point is verse 14 for today. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Dear Christian friends, a couple of nights ago I was delivering some neighborhood Christmas presents. As you know, I like to bake bread, and it's relatively inexpensive, so I take bread around to many of the people that we know by name or even just to see on the street. Sometimes it's the very first time I've knocked on their door all year. And as I was walking around, it was dark. It was about 8 o'clock, and I had that strange feeling that you sometimes get that you wonder if you should be doing what you're doing. I wonder if you ever knock on your neighbor's doors, especially if it's after dark. It feels a little odd, doesn't it? Perhaps in years past or in ages past, before the invention of telephones, before we were so insular in our households, it was more common to get a knock on your door. These days, when our door is knocked on, I have one of two thoughts, either, oh no, or who could that be? I wonder what you do when your door is knocked on. It went well, though, save for one absent homeowner who I'm pretty sure was home, but either didn't hear the knock or chose to ignore it. I delivered all the Christmas gifts. We have this need, though, for privacy, don't we? What do you do when you see a car that you don't aren't familiar with sitting in your driveway? I wonder what you do. I mean, it's just the driveway. They could be turning around. They could be stopping to use their phone for a moment. But it's your driveway. What if that same person shut off their car and came and stood on your porch? It's just the porch, but it's your porch. What if a stranger came right into your house? Once that happened here on a Sunday morning, I suspect that whoever it was mistakenly took our front door for an entryway into the church and just came walking right in. And it was a little bit odd. We quickly found this person and said, "This is our house, and you must go out," and ushered them out. What if that same person came into your kitchen? I mean, a lot of people come into our kitchen, but the kitchen is inside the house. We kind of expect people to take our shoes off when they come in as far as the kitchen, otherwise the floor gets dirty. Now, here's the real infringement upon your privacy. What if a person came in and actually right into your living room and sat down on your couch? Some people keep their living room as an off-limits zone. They have those nice vacuum lines in the carpet, and you can tell if anyone has walked in the living room. What if some person came into your house and went down the hallway or even up the stairs and found your own bathroom and went into your bathroom? What if that same person came in and sat down on your bed? Or maybe took their shoes off and laid down and had a sleep, right where you sleep? Christmas means God came near to us. Not just into the driveway, not just into the entryway, not just into the kitchen, but right into the bedroom of our lives. Right into the most sacred and intimate place. That's where Jesus makes his home. Now, we in the West have this need for personal space. And when my boys were in preschool, they learned very quickly about your bubble. Everybody has a bubble. And if you have your hands out, that's probably about as big as you expect your bubble to be. Now, if someone comes into your bubble, I'm not going to do that. I could. But if someone comes into your bubble and even puts their head into your bubble, you immediately back up and preserve your bubble. But this idea of the Word made flesh coming into our world, the incarnation, this is Jesus coming straight into our bubble. When the angel visited Mary, the very first thing that the angel said was, "Don't be afraid." Don't be afraid. Have you ever wondered why that was? I mean, it was an angel after all. But Mary had not expected a visit. And it was natural when someone invaded her space like that, visited her, came very close to Mary, that she would recoil in fear. Sometimes we talk about Jesus coming near to us, the incarnation, the Word made flesh, as if it was no big deal. We think, yes, Jesus became a human being, but we're separated by several thousand years, and so it doesn't really confront us like it might. Today, on Christmas Day, I wonder if you have felt visited in that way, that intimate, close way. I wonder if you feel as though it's a violation when Jesus comes straight into your bedroom of your life and makes his home there. When he takes off his shoes and hangs up his jacket and sits back and says, "So what are we going to do today?" I wonder if there are events in your life that you would rather have Jesus go and visit someone else for the day while you do your thing. Emmanuel means God with us. And that's a gift. It's the greatest gift that we have. But it's also, sometimes, an infringement upon our lives that we defend as our own, mistakenly believing that they are ours to live the way we want. Now, dear friends, it's Christmas, and that means good news. And so let me dwell on two facets, two things, two realities that Jesus brings when he comes to be our Lord, to be our King of Kings. Since it's Jesus, we don't have to fear when he comes straight into the bedroom of our lives. If it was anyone else, you would be right to usher them out the front door. But since it's Jesus, we know first that we have one who can feel what we feel, one who empathizes with us. This is the first facet of Christmas, it seems to me. The Word made flesh means that he feels what we feel. God becoming human means that God then began to experience what human beings experience. It seems to me that as we complain sometimes about the difficulties in our lives, we say to each other, "You just don't know how it feels to be me." I wonder if you've ever said that. I wonder if you've ever said it to your spouse. "You don't know how it feels to be me." In the Word made flesh, we have a God who now understands what it feels like to be me. And so we have empathy. The second thing that Jesus did when he came, if feeling what we feel is showing us help, in other words, if Jesus comes near to us and feels what we feel and says, "Let me help you with that, I can help you through that, now I know what that is like, let me guide you." If on the one hand, Jesus did what we do, this is the essence of empathy, isn't it? If he came alongside and did what human beings do for a little while. On the other hand, we also have a God who did what we cannot do. And this is the basis of our salvation. Because more than just a God who came near to his people and empathized with them, we have a God who came near to his people and stood in their place. And this, dear friends, as you know, is the essence of our salvation. He did what we could not do, living perfectly, growing, experiencing, and resisting temptation, loving outwardly and generously, perfectly, calling those who would follow him to carry their crosses like he did, setting the perfect example. And yet it was an example that none of us have ever been able to replicate. Salvation, this is the real essence of the Jesus story. As you know, as we build towards Easter, the cross, the grave, the resurrection. So on the one hand, we have the Word made flesh coming to empathize, coming to be with and to show us that he now feels what we feel and he now does what we do. But on the other hand, we have the Word made flesh, God in the flesh, who came to be in place of his broken people. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. At Christmas, we worship the newborn king. And we gather around the manger, and we have this beautiful, intimate picture of Mary and Joseph and the baby. Yes, we worship Jesus in the manger. But even more profoundly, friends, today, as we consider the Word made flesh, we worship Jesus in our hearts, the most intimate place, the inner room of our lives, where he also has come near and has made his home. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of this Jesus who has made his home in us guard your hearts and minds throughout the celebration of his birth. Amen.